little slim today. We've got a lot of people out with the flu and different things, so be much in prayer for them. I talked to most of them. We even got a couple, I think, has a form of pneumonia, so everyone is sick, but hey, we're here today. Those of us that's feeling good, let's praise the Lord for it. Looking for a good service today. We're going to have our song service going to look and sound a little bit different. We got some new singers going to sing because our other singers are sick. So we're going to do the best we can, but it's good to have our visitors with us. Just make yourself at home, and you're always welcome here at New Harmony Baptist Church. And today started off good. I got to go to Brotherhood this morning and got to eat a good breakfast, got to hear Brother Terry preach a little bit and had a good time with that, and looking forward to the rest of the day. We're probably going to cancel tonight's service because we are missing a bunch, and of course we've got some be going to hospital and different things with loved ones, so we won't have any evening service tonight. We had it scheduled for our Experience in God to start, but we're going to postpone that to next week when we hope everybody is back and healthy and is able to get going. Looking forward to Experience in God. I have actually started mine and going through it, and it's truly, some of y'all have already been through it, but it's truly going to make a difference in our spiritual lives if we'll do it the way the book tells us to do it and really get into our Bibles. It's going to change us, and it's already been good for me. So I encourage you to, we've got an extra week now to get ready for it. So if you need a book, I know Lifeway has some, or you can order them online. The Experience in God is by, I think it's Richard Blackaby's his name, and it's a great study. So looking forward to getting into it. And excited to see what God's going to do. Do we have any other prayer requests this morning before we go to the Lord in prayer? I know Brother Bill, remember him, he'll be going for some treatments. Of course, continue to remember Kay and her sister. They stand in need of our prayers. I can't even start to name the ones that's sick today, so I'm not going to do that. Just remember everyone in our church that is sick and is out with different sicknesses. Remember Frida. Can you remember Jane and Jackie also? Jackie had some more stomach tests done this week, and he still stands in need of our prayers as he just has had a hard time getting over the heart surgery and hasn't gotten a lot better in the past several months. So be much in prayer for them as they stand in need of it. Any others? No others. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then our singers come forth. Father, we come to you today. Thank you for this day you've given us. Father, we just want to praise you today for what you have done. God, it seems like we always take the bad and we tend to think on it, worry on it, Lord. But I ask today that in this service, you let us open our eyes and, God, be thankful for what you have blessed us with and what you've given us, God. It's just a miracle of how much you love us. And God, we thank you for what you're doing here at New Harmony. God, we pray that you continue, Lord, to bless us. Father, we thank you for what you've given us. And, Lord, we just ask that we'd ever be have our eyes and ears and hearts open to your will. God, I ask you to bless the singers this morning, Father, as we come. There's some that don't usually sing, Father, but I know that you can bless them. God, give them courage. God, give them the will to know that you're right there with them. And, God, as we go to the preaching hour, I pray you give me the words to preach. Lord, I ask that you open hearts and lives, that we leave here this morning different than when we came in, God, to something that's sang or something that's preached or something today. Father, I just pray that it touch a lost soul. For it's in Jesus' name we do ask it. Amen.
Will you stand and sing with us?
Thank you.
about 20 people today, so I don't think we even need to turn and wave. We'll just say, welcome to New Harmony. We're glad you're here.
Appreciate those singers singing today that I don't normally sing, and I don't know that we missed a beat. Enjoyed that, and I'm looking forward to today, and I was so looking forward to taking those our seniors out to eat today. We had planned that in advance, and of course now we're going to have to cancel because we got over half of them that is sick, and so don't want anybody to miss out, but looking forward to it. We'll get it planned again real soon, so we'll get in touch with everybody and let them know. If you got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. And a very familiar scripture this morning that we're going to preach about. And I told you I've been studying my Experiencing God lesson and what an impact it's made on me. And I had a thought on my mind the other day. And as I was beginning reading my book and studying it, the book just went on the same thing that God was trying to show to me, and it's about standing. It's about standing. You know, we live in a world, we live in a society today where nobody stands for anything. I remember an old country song said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And we have many that's doing that today, but the scriptures tell us, gives us a lot of things in Ephesians chapter 6 that we are to stand, and gives us reason, ways we can stand. But it tells us that after God's given us these things, that we have to stand. And that's what the hard part is for a lot of us, is standing on what God has called us to stand on, and what doing what God has called us to do. I looked up the Hebrew meaning of stand that's in the scripture, and it means to abide. It means to abide. Don't mean so much to stand as I'm standing this morning, but it means to abide with what Christ has given us. And church, if there's ever been a time we need to do that, it's now. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 10 through 18. And I want you to listen as I read. And I know these are very familiar scriptures, but still listen and understand what God is trying to teach to us today. It says, not without eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good all doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive the Lord, whether it be bond or free. And you masters do the same things unto them, forbearing thereafter, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, where you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, we thank you again for this word. God, we ask you to touch hearts and lives this morning, Father, and I ask that you open our eyes and hearts to what your word is telling us. These blessings we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So standing, it says, those verses are really clear about what we are to do. It gives us all the armor that we're to put on. And I began thinking about that today. You turn on your news and you see pictures of our military. You begin seeing them in Iraq. You see them in Afghanistan. They got all this equipment on. They got helmets on. Most time they'll have their gun on. They'll have their boots on. They'll have all these things on. And I can't imagine ever starting to go to battle without those things. There never would have been a soldier that would step on the battlefield without all the armor that we supplied for them. So why today do me and you step on the battlefield of life without the armor that God has provided? If you do that today, then I promise you something, you will fail. You will fail, because I want to tell you something. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. The Bible tells us this. You're not fighting against anyone that you can overtake. The Bible teaches us in these scriptures that you're fighting against principalities and you're fighting against powers of darkness. It says spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, church, you're fighting against an enemy that you cannot win. You're fighting against an enemy on your own. You are powerless and you have no chance of being successful in this battle. The only way that we can stand, that we can be successful, is after we put on the whole armor of God. And it goes through a whole list. I have preached on those, but I'm not today. But it goes through a whole list of armor that we're to put on. And I remember reading one time about Charles Stanley, one of the greatest preachers I think we have today. I listen to him a lot. But Charles Stanley, he has this scripture on his mirror where he gets ready every single morning. And before he leaves out that door, he tries to make certain that he has on this whole armor of God. Make sure that he's ready for battle. And you say, well, that sounds ridiculous. Here Charles Stanley is. He probably has life made. Why in the world does he think he's in a battle? Because Charles Stanley realizes something, that his enemy is out to destroy him. And his enemy is not some weakling. His enemy is Satan, and he is very powerful, although he's not more powerful than our God. But if we are to be successful, we must put on all this stuff. And then the scriptures tells us something. It said, and after you have put on all these things, then we get to make a decision. And this is the part I think we so much have trouble with. We might read our scriptures. We might have the breastplate of faith in all these other things it teaches. But how many times are we willing to stand? How many times did you realize after all this you read about, there's none of this stuff that you have available to you that you can't have? You can have all these things that God offers you, but finally you get to make a choice. God can offer you salvation. God can offer you protection. God can offer you the gospel that says your feet are being prepared with. God can offer you all these tools, but the one thing that he will not make you do, although he allows you to do it, is you have to decide on your own if you'll stand. If you will stand. In other words, you get to decide if you will abide with God, if you will stay with God. And this is the part that so many of us are having trouble with in today's time, because I'm going to tell you, we blame it on our kids, we blame it on the younger generation, us older people, we struggle with this too, is standing, because we're living in a society when it's teaching us all around that the Bible is a thing of the past, and that's the old ways, and you don't need to stay on that way, you need to change. And listen, I always say this, the methods of how you worship God can change, but the message cannot change. If God said it was wrong 2,000 years ago, then bless God, it's still wrong today. If God said it was wrong whenever the Bible was written, it's still wrong today. We need to be willing to stand on it. But so many people in our little community even, and especially in our whole country, they're willing to give in to anything as long as it don't hurt anybody's feelings. Have you ever seen a time in our country when we're a bunch of sissies as we are right now? And we're afraid to say anything, afraid that somebody will get mad, and they won't come back, and they don't want to be part of us if we teach against this, if we preach against it. So I want to tell you something. You better treat people with all respect. You need to preach with love. You need to preach with all these things. But, brother, let me tell you something. You better preach the Word of God. You better stand on the Word of God. You better stay with what it says. And I don't care who you make mad. If it's in the Scripture today, then they've got to deal with it. They've got to deal with it. You heard the old saying, don't shoot me, I'm the messenger. It is tough to stand here and preach some of these things because it gets me too, because you understand something. I'm a human. I have more failures than probably any one of y'all. I deal with this stuff on a daily basis, and I've come to the all realization that without Jesus Christ, I'm in a mess. I am no good. I have all this stuff that tempts me and tries to trip me up and that knocks me down. Every time I get to thinking I'm really something, Terry, along comes something and knock me back on the ground. And I figure out real quick that the only way that I can be successful in this battle is standing. Simply standing. Well, how do we stand? The number one thing is to stand strong. Stand strong. Verse number 10 tells us to be strong in the Lord. Now, how do you be strong in the Lord? And this is one that I hear people talk about it all the time, about staying in the Lord. And about staying in the Lord, I want to tell you today how you stay strong in the Lord is you have to be in this right here. You need to have you a time every single day that you stay in this Word of God. You need to have a time that you're in this thing in the morning. It wouldn't hurt to be in it at night even. But sometime during the day, if you're going to stand strong in the Lord, you must read His Word. You must be in His Word. You must hear it preached. You must hear it taught. You must hear it sung. At some point during the day, you need to be in the Word of God. Because I promise you that you're going to be bombarded by all other things. You're going to get to work in the mornings if your work is like mine. And immediately someone is going to call and the day is going to start off wrong. I can't tell you how many times I get to work and I'm happy, I'm in a good mood and things are going great. And the phone can ring one time and seem like your whole day has gone wrong. But let me tell you what we mess up at is we get up in the morning and number one, we don't thank God. Number one, we don't praise God. And number two, listen, we don't ever get in His Word. And we go out the door. We don't have any of this armor on. And we get to our work or we get to our schools or wherever we're going and things begin bombarding us. And we have no protection because we hadn't put on the armor of God. We hadn't put any of it on. So this begins hitting us. So how do we stand strong? We got to get in His Word and we got to talk to Him. Prayer, do you realize today what prayer is? I know we talk about it, we preach about it a lot, and we teach about it in our classes. Do you understand that prayer is direct communication with the Holy God? Direct communication. Now you go back to the Old Testament, and if they were going to talk to God, you know what they had to do? They had to go for a priest, and the priest had to intercede on their behalf. He had to intercede for them because they couldn't go to the Holy of Holies. Only one priest could go, the high priest, and he only went once a year. And this thing was so holy that he had to put bells about his garment. And they tied a rope to him. So if he had one evil thought, one sinful thought while he was in that place, the scripture teaches he'd be struck dead. And they would have to take a rope and pull him out of there because no other man could enter in without dying. Because God takes this thing of sin so seriously. But when Jesus Christ come and he died the perfect death on the cross, and the scripture teaches us something, at that minute the veil of the temple was ripped in twain from the top to the bottom, and we was given access to the Holy of Holies. Me and you was given an opportunity that we can go boldly before the throne of grace. Anytime during the day, night, or whatever time you want to pick out, you can go before God, you can carry your petitions, and you can cry out to God and speak to him one-on-one. And it's a blessing today. Listen, we have cell phones. I can talk to Pat anytime I want to because she stays up to about 4 o'clock in the morning. You get on the phone sometime, you'll see old Pat on there late at night. Telling on you, Pat. Listen, we get on the cell phone and we can talk to anybody across the world. I can see what's going on in China. I can see what's going on anywhere. And we'll spend most of our time on a device just like that. But how much time do we stay talking to the one that can make a difference? I can read about all my problems on this. I can get on Google and I can try to find out how to fix something, Terry. I do it almost every single day. I upgraded my computer browser thing the other day. I wish Corey was here. He'd love this. I updated to Google Chrome. And I had all these favorites over here. And I began saying, what am I going to do? Am I going to have to do away with all these? My boss, he's like me. He's not real bright in computers. He said, well, I had to go copy and paste each one of mine. He said, it took me forever. I said, there got to be a better way. So I Googled that thing. Within 2 minutes, I figured out how to transfer all of my favorites over to Google Chrome. And boy, I was sitting there with my chest poked out. And I was making him try to feel dumb because he didn't know how to do it. And all along, all I'd done was got on Google. So we got all these things we can go and we can try to figure out any problem. But let me tell you something. There's one that we can talk to that can make a difference. And if I'm going to stand strong in the Lord, number one, I've got to be in his word. Number two, I've got to talk to him. I got to pray. Why in the world do we go all week and we don't pray? Some of us will be honest with ourselves, and I want you to be honest with yourself for just a minute. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell your neighbor next to you or anybody else, but when was the last time that you spent some time on your knees before God? When's the last time that you went to your prayer closet, the Bible teaches, and you got earnest before God in prayer, crying out for your necessities, crying out for your neighbors? When is the last time? I don't want you to tell me because I don't want to tell you. But we must have time that we go before God and we cry out to him. I've said a lot of times if we was to build a new church, and you see a lot of new churches being built, I want to tell them how they could save some money. How they could take this thing right here out and just make it a flat spot. You know why? Because in most churches today, the altars are not used anymore. And I believe that's why our churches has lost the power, because God's people are not talking to him. They're not interceding with him. They're not praying for him. This whole book of the Bible, it's in there and it tells you that. If any sick, let them bring. Let them pray for one another, the Bible says. If any fall into sin, let them pray for one another. It tells us that we must commune with God. Make our petitions known. You see, what we'll do is we'll bring the big stuff before God, but the small stuff we won't. I was at work the other day. And if somebody said something, it made me mad. And yes, Pat, I get mad too. I get mad. Somebody said something, it bothered me a little bit, and I caught myself about to fly off the handle, so I just made up an excuse that I'd go look at a part up behind the shop. So I went walking up through there, and I said this little simple prayer. I didn't expect it to fix nothing. To be honest with you, I said, God, help me. And immediately, this is one of the first times I ever had this happen, but immediately, that me being so mad, it just went away. I thought, Lord, I want to be mad a little longer. I was liking being mad. Listen to simple prayer. Take the simple stuff before God too. Take the simple things. You think the stuff that you don't think God cares about, he cares about you. And I'll prove this to you. I promise you there's nothing your children can't bring to you. They'll try to hide a lot from you. I know I said this about teenagers. When the scripture says none's good, no not one, he's talking about teenagers. Listen, I know they try to hide a lot from us, but honestly, you know in your heart there's nothing your child could tell you that would make you not love them anymore. So why in the world do we think that God, if we go tell this to God, surely he don't care about the small problems. Surely he don't care about the little things. Why should I bring it before him? Let me tell you something, church. You bring every problem before God. You bring everything of your life before God. You put it before him because he does care for you. He loves you. He desires to see the best for you. This part right here I don't like. Sometimes he makes us wait. He always answers. There's never a prayer that a child of God prays that does not go answered. I can show you in the Bible where those prayers are. The Bible says in Revelation they're in vials. They're in heaven. Every prayer a child of God ever prays is in glory right now. It's up there. And one day it says, oh, things be opened up, but every prayer you pray is answered. We must talk to him. Enemy's too strong. We must stay strong in the Lord because the enemy much stronger. Number two, we must stand secure. Stand secure. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 21. Boy, I love this verse. If you remember here, Moses has been with God. And he's been with God and he's desiring to see more of God. And I found this true in my own life. The more time you'll spend with God, you know what you desire? More time with God. Now, the more you get closer to God, the closer you want to be with him. The more you commune with him, the more you want to talk with him. The more you read his word, the more desire you should have to want to read his word. Now, the more you get into him, the more you want to spend with him. And this is the place where Moses was in his life. Moses had been with God, and he desired to see more of God's glory. He says, God, please just show me your glory. And God tells him, he says, Moses, I cannot do that because no man's ever seen me and live. And I love you, Moses, and I need you, and you have to live, so I'm not going to show you my face, but I tell you what I'll do. I'll let you stand by me. Boy, I love this. The Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Where should we stand, church? I said, number one, we need to stand strong. Number two, we must stand secure. But where is a secure place? Where is a secure place that I can abide? That's where you hear people say that all the time. I want security in my finances. I want a security in my relationships. I want security in everything. We want to be secure. We want to know that thing is secure. So where in the world can we find security? I'll show you where. It's right there. And the Lord told Moses, there's a place beside me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. I got to thinking about this through the week, and I like to shout it here. Do you understand what the Scripture teaches that the Lord Jesus is today? Where does it teach that Jesus Christ is right now in your Bible? On the right hand of God, making intercession for me and you. You want to know the place that Scripture is talking about that Moses could stand? It was Jesus Christ. That's where he could stand. And today, the same place is. You want to know where you can stand secure? On the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other place that is secure. Everything else is sinking sand. Everything else you can stand on this life, it will pass away. You can stand on your job, and I tell you, the job can leave you. You can stand on a relationship, and they can leave you. You can stand on anything you want, money, whatever it may be, and it can pass away. But the Scripture teaches us to put our treasure in heaven where moth can eat it up or it cannot decay. The strong place, the secure place that we can stand is Jesus Christ. He told Moses, he said, there's a place by me. There's a place by me you can stand. Church, are we standing? Are we standing secure in Jesus Christ today? Are you standing on that strong place? Are you standing on that secure place? I began thinking about our building out here. As we just built this new building, you know what we did? We dug down a little bit. We built a foundation. And we poured concrete in that thing, which consists of rocks. And it becomes a secure thing that you can build upon. And listen, we got enough common sense not to build that building on sand. Because we know it can shift. It can go away. But when we go to build something, we build it on a solid foundation. And this is what the Scripture is talking about today. And we need to build our lives and have our lives standing on something secure. And there's nothing more secure in your life in anywhere you can search and find than Jesus Christ. He's secure. Let me tell you something about security. If you want something secure, you want it where it don't move. You want it where it don't fall. You want it where it can't never fall. You want it where it's secure forevermore. And Jesus Christ is that one place. Where else could we be? Where else could you think more secure than by the God who created everything? Where else could you want to stand? Besides, I'm talking about one who says that you can be beside him and stand upon a rock, which is his son, and you can be right beside him. And this is the creator of all things, the one who made all the universe, the one who spoke light into existence, one who spoke the stars into existence, the one who spoke everything into existence. He tells me that I can stand beside him on a rock, which is his son. Why in the world will I stand anywhere else? It don't make sense today, does it? Why would we go anywhere else but Jesus Christ? There's nowhere else we can go. We must stand secure. But he tells Moses a little something else. He says, not only can you stand upon a rock, but I'm going to put you inside that rock. He said, I'm going to put you inside it. Not only can you stand beside me on it, but I've got a cliff in it. I've got a spot hewn out of that rock just for you. Let me tell you something. If you've ever been born in which you are, you would not be here today. There's a spot in that rock that's hewn out for you. And it's waiting for you to come to that place, and you cry upon the name of the Lord, and he puts you in the cliff of that rock. He puts you in a secure place, which is Jesus Christ. You want me to tell you today why more people won't stand on godly principles? You want me to tell you where more people won't stand on the word of God? It's because they're not standing on the rock, and they've not ever been put in a secure place of Jesus Christ. They're lost. They're lost. They don't know the Lord. They can't stand upon a rock because they've never met him. They've never seen it. He tells us today, stand secure. Stand with him. He told Moses, he said, I'll put you in the cliff of the rock. And he said to him, what I'll do, Moses, is I'll put my hand over it. I'll put my hand over that cliff, and when I pass by, you won't be able to see my face, and I'll move it, and you can see my hinder parts. So he's protecting him. Church, he does the same thing for us today. If you're saved today, he has put you in the cleft of a rock. He's put you in a safe place. He's provided you a secure place to stand. Abide upon that rock. So we got to stand strong. We got to stand secure. Number two, we got to stand still. We got to stand still. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15 through 25, we see here where the children of Israel here is about to go into a battle. Or they think they are. They think they're going to have to fight here, old Jehoshaphat. Listen to what the scripture says. He said, hearken you all, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Do you understand that? I told you we're in a battle. We've got a great enemy. But I want you to think about this. You didn't do anything to this enemy. You didn't do anything to deserve this enemy to want to destroy you, because the enemy didn't know you was ever going to be born. The enemy didn't know that you was going to ever be here on this earth. You know why the enemy hates you? Because you're God's. You know why the enemy hates you? Because you're going to belong to God one day. You know why the enemy hates you? Because he hates everything of God. And if you're of God, he hates you and he wants to destroy you. But bless God, this ought to get us excited right here. Now, the battle is not yours. It belongs to God. It's not your battle. Why in the world do we try to fight something that's not even ours? Why don't we call the one who started the battle, who's able to finish the battle, who controls the battle? He says, the battle's not yours, but God's. He says, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff as is. You shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still. Set yourselves. And stand you still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not and be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. You see what he said to do? Stand still. When I was studying my Experiencing God book, and I got to this part, and this message was on my heart, and this writer said something, and I thought, writer, that goes against everything I've ever preached. But he said, stand still and do nothing. Stand still and do nothing. He said, you see, we preach and we teach that we must be about the battle. We must be out working. We must out be in doing. And the scripture teaches there's sometimes we simply need to stand still and do nothing. Listen to this story, y'all. This is a true thing. It happened. They're in this battle, and the battle belonged to God. God told them, he said, hey, all you need to do is set yourselves and sit still. And it said, Jehoshaphat bowed his head and face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and all the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. So he stood still. Here he is. He's in the midst of a battle. What in the world is this crazy king or crazy leader thinking about? Jehoshaphat, what is wrong with him? Here he is. He's got the children in a battle, and they're about to come upon the enemy. And all of a sudden, he's telling them to stand still. He's saying, stand still, and God told him to tell them to stand still. And he's doing something instead of going to the military leaders and telling them to get their guns ready, to get their bombs ready, to get all their weapons ready. He goes to the singers. What in the world is wrong with this crazy man? What's the matter with him? You see, not only got to stand still, but we got to stand singing. Listen to this. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Stand still. Stand still. It's God's battle. This is God's battle. I don't know what your battle is, what you're going through right now. I go through many things in my life. But you know the hardest thing for me to do, Terry, is to stand still. You know why? Because I like to try to fix something. I want it fixed today. I want the problem gone today. God, I don't want to wait. I want you to do this how I want to do it, and I want it done right now. God, you don't understand. I live in a microwave society, Lord. I can go to my microwave, and I can cook a potato in 7 minutes. They say you can. I've never really tried it. Stephanie does that. I can do anything. I want it right now. I ride in a car. I can go 80 miles an hour all day long if I want to. I can go to Atlanta, I can get on an airplane, and by night's end, I can be in Israel, I can be on the other side of the world. I live in a time where things happen when I want it to happen. Our kids, boy, you talk about not knowing about waiting. Listen, me and you remember a time when we had to carry a quarter to school for a report card. You remember that? Y'all probably remember a lot less than a quarter, but I remember carrying a quarter. You had to give it to them for a stamp for your report card at the end of the year. And now, boy, these kids are in a real mess because they can hit a button and email it. Remember when you had to mail a letter to somebody? We call it snail mail. Now I can click a button. They can have it in a matter of seconds. We live in a society where we think we need it, and we need it right now. And I cannot wait on it. And this is how we have become with God. We can't stand still because something's got to happen. God, I got to have it now because you got to fix this problem right now. Let me tell you something. You know the reason that our churches were stronger back in 50 years ago? The reason our people were stronger? The reason people didn't get their feelings hurt and all this stuff is, bless God, they knew what it was to wait. They knew what it was to wait on something. Stand still. You know what happens when you stand still? You begin to wait. You begin to stand still and just wait. Abide with God and watch. In the middle of that standing still, they begin singing. As they began singing, God began working. That battle, they killed one another. They never had to lift a finger against another one. The enemy destroyed itself. Completely destroyed it. You know why? Because God's battle was his, and he was fighting his battle. Those people couldn't fight God's battle because they was powerless. God started this battle, and God's going to finish this battle. And I want to tell you something, church. All me and you is required to do is stand. You can't fight anyway. You may think you can, but let me tell you something. If you want to be successful, you can do two things. You can stand, and you can sing. What I mean by sing? Praises unto God. In the middle of a battle, in the middle of a storm, let me let you try something. And you come back next week and tell me it wasn't successful. In the middle of a battle, you begin to sing. People look like you're like crazy. If you're at the hospital, they probably put you up on the fifth floor. Is that the one, Terry? They'll probably put you up there for a while if you begin doing this. I went to had a lady in our church, the last church I pastored. And the lady was diagnosed with cancer and was having surgery in Birmingham. And I went there to visit her, and I got there that morning. I have another job I have to work also, and I stayed with them a little bit, and then I left coming home. And about Oxford, I got a call. The doctor had come and told them the cancer was much worse than he expected. He had much worse than expected and didn't know what he was going to do. So I come to work, do a few things, and that evening we get back in the car and go back to Birmingham. And there he is, and the husband is distraught, as should be. His wife has just been, he's just been told the news his wife is terminally ill with cancer. The doctor said he's going to go ahead with some surgery, but not much he could do. The husband come to me, and his boys was there with me. Me and them have a lot of fun together, and two of them's preachers, and we was cutting up, and he comes to me, and he says, "Preacher, I want to start singing right here, right now." We're in the waiting room. And his oldest son, he's a big old boy, about 6'9". He come over and he said, "Can't you do something with him? He's going to embarrass us all." I said, "He's your daddy. We got to do what he says." He says, "I promised the Lord this morning, if I got good news, that I'd sing right here in this waiting room." He said, "You know what? I didn't get good news, but I'm still going to sing right here in this waiting room." And he said, "I'm going to sing. Y'all can sing with me or not. I don't care." He busts out in Amazing Grace. We jump right in there with him, in the middle of a hospital. And you know what? The strangest thing, people didn't look at us like we was crazy. One bit. Matter of fact, some more started singing with us. They began joining in. Let me tell you something, church. When in the middle of a battle, you start singing. You start praising. Let me tell you why. Because the battle is not yours. It belongs to God. He's going to fight it. If he's going to fight it, I can assure you of one thing. If he's fighting the battle, he is going to win. He's never lost a battle. He never will lose a battle. I want him fighting my battles. If I'm going into battle, I want one that has never lost. And he has never lost. Start singing him. Start praising him. Psalms chapter 43:5, and I'll be done. Why are they cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. Why are you cast down today? Why are you down? You read a lot in the scriptures of where God relates us to sheep. You know what it means when a sheep is cast down? Sheep are dumb animals such as we are. And when they get cast, they lay on their back. And they won't even try to get up. I read a book one time. I preached to some of y'all. Went through it in a class. The guy that was a shepherd in South Africa. When a sheep becomes cast, it lays on its back. It won't even try to roll over. So the shepherd has to come and roll that sheep back over. Without that happening, the sheep dies. Within hours, most of the time in the summer. Can last about 2 days in the winter. But in the summertime, within 2 hours of laying on its back, it'll be dead. Why are you cast down? In other words, why are you laying on your back? Why are you down? Why is my soul down? All those that are disquieted with it, disquieted in me. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance. If you have health today, you know where it comes from? From God. Listen, you may be in the middle of a medical battle, something I don't understand. And you're right, I don't understand a lot of it. Why these people have to suffer cancer and different things, I cannot understand the mind of God. I'm glad I can't. But you know what I can do in the middle of a battle? I can begin to sing. I can begin to praise. And I can begin to thank him for what he's done. I wrote a little summary for this one. We are in this battle. We did not choose it, but we're here. We cannot win this battle on our own strength. It's impossible because we're in a battle with a much stronger enemy. This battle belongs to God. Stand still and watch him fight. We feel as though we must do something. We cannot just stand here. Ain't that the way you feel when things are going wrong? God, I can't just stand here. Things is going crazy in my family. Things is going crazy on my job. God, I've got to fix it. That's not what he tells you to do. He says, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord and begin singing. Begin praising. We come with a verse of invitation. Pat, you may just have to play something. If you would, please stand. You may be here this morning. You may be in the middle of a battle like you have never seen. Jehoshaphat had never seen a battle that was coming upon him. If we could spiritually see the battle we're in with the enemy, we would realize something. We're in a terrible battle. We're in a battle with one that's so powerful, there's no way I can win outside of Jesus Christ. No way I can win. He said, I fight against him in spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, he's crafty. And he knows things. He can trip me up. He can trample me. Let me tell you something. I didn't start the battle with him. That's God's battle. And God's going to be victorious. That battle's going on in your life. You know why it's going on? Because he hates you. The enemy hates you. He wants to destroy you. He likes nothing about you. That's why it's there. This thing started way back yonder, before we could even think about it. The battle is God's. He's going to fight. I want to encourage you to do two things this morning. You're in the middle of a battle, whatever kind of battle it may be, spiritual, financial, medical, anything, any physical, whatever battle it is that you're in this morning, I want you to do two things. I want you to stand and begin singing. Begin praising. You begin praising God in the middle of that battle, you'll see God begin working. You'll be seeing God begin figuring that thing out. I can't tell you at the times I've been in a mess and I began thinking, how am I going to fix it? And it'd be 2 or 3 days down the road and I realize that God fixed it and I should have let God fix it from the beginning. You see, we're men. Oh, I'm a man. And boy, we love to try to fix things even when we ain't got the ability. I remember when the girls was growing up, they'd get a toy for Christmas, and I'd get all of it laid out in the living room floor. We'd get a new piece of furniture. We'd lay it out in the living room floor, and I'd want to put it together without the directions. Me and Stephanie would wind up in a fight. Because she's better at it now, and I don't like to admit it. We wind up in all this. Listen, church, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. Stand still and watch God fight it. Sing praises unto Him and thank Him for what He's already done. I can promise you this, and then we'll play and she'll play and we'll close. I promise you this, you cannot win that battle. God can, and God will. Don't want to depress you today. Don't want to get you down, but it's probably not going to be in your timing. Probably not going to be when you want it to happen. It's going to be when God knows it needs to happen. It's going to be when God has brought you through what it is you're to learn through that. Then He'll step in, He'll fight the battle, and you'll be victorious. As she plays today, maybe there's one here that don't know Jesus Christ. If you do, you can't stand strong because you have nothing to stand on. All you have is sinking sand. If you'd come forward today, we'll show you a way that you can meet this Savior, Jesus Christ. You can have a rock to stand on. You can have one who started the battle, who will finish the battle. You may be here this morning. You may have known Him 50 years and you're away from Him. You're not as close as you used to be. I beg you today to come. Give your life to Him. Start anew. Start anew with Him. Rekindle that old fire. In church, we have many in our church right now that's battling illnesses, whether it be flu. We have Miss Kay, whose sister is in need of our prayers. You pray for her and you ask God to fight that battle for her and help her. We have some going for tests that not sure what all is happening. Some going for treatments on cancer and different things. Lift them up in prayer and pray for them and let God fight this thing. And let's praise Him when we see one win. And you know what? Let's praise Him when we don't see one. Jehoshaphat had no idea that it's going to be victorious, but he began singing. And God fought that battle. So as she plays this morning, would you mind the Lord?